God's a good God, and I thank God for all of you and for Christian's case this morning. I was reading yesterday about, let's look in 1 Kings and chapter 21. That's where I want to be. I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. I thank God for all of you. I was talking this morning in Christian education on the law versus the spirit. And it really comes down to the law can't forgive and the spirit does.
Yeah.
Because the spirit employs everything there is about Christ having come and having died and been resurrected. And the law simply defines, as it says in Romans, what sin is and gives a penalty for sin, but then it has no redeeming quality. If you do well, the law doesn't serve any good purpose. So I want to look at Ahab. I was talking about him this morning. This is a 5-minute sermon. Ahab, and I'll make it very quick for you, as they say on one program I watch, just bullet points. Ahab is an evil king, and he's a king of Israel, which is the 10 tribes. And Ahab, after Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin, he was the one who divided the kingdom between Jeroboam and Solomon, son Rehoboam. And every king after Jeroboam caused Israel to sin because he set up a temple outside of Jerusalem and used people who were not chosen by God to be preached. And whoever wanted to preach, he let them. And whoever said they could do the service, he let them do it. Whether they were chosen of God or not. And they were very unclean. And it went on even to the time of Jesus. And this is why the woman at the well was asking Jesus, where do I need to worship? In Jerusalem and Mount Gerizim. But in but along the lineage of Jeroboam comes Ahab. And Ahab, and successively as each king comes after Rehoboam, they become more evil and more evil and more evil, or eviler, whichever word you want to use. And each one had said that before them, no one had ever done that much evil in the sight of God. And of course, Ahab's son was the same way. He did even more. But Ahab, not only was he evil, but Ahab also did something else. He went out and married Jezebel. And Jezebel didn't become what she was when Ahab married her. She was like that before he married her. And Ahab allowed Jezebel to bring Baal worship to the forefront. It's like before, it seems like before Jezebel, Israel was in idolatry to a certain extent. Just like in America, you know, racism and everything's always been there. But it's never been brought to the forefront like it has these days, so that the people who are in positions and in power have embraced racism. Usually they kind of keep it behind and keep it in the dark and keep it behind them, even though they feel that way. It's never been brought out like it is now. And that's how it was with Jezebel. Jezebel, when Ahab married Jezebel, Jezebel's not one of these quiet women. She's a loud woman. She makes her presence known. And Ahab is a wimp. Always was, always will be. And so Jezebel was able to bring her Baal worship to the forefront and put it over the country and over the people. So Ahab was worse than all the rest of the people. And yet, in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings, this is the chapter where Ahab sees Naboth. He has a vineyard, and Ahab is the king. He has all the land all around. For some reason, he wants this vineyard that Naboth has. He has everything else. He's like David and Bathsheba. He has everything else, but he wants this vineyard that Naboth has. And he comes home, and as you can see down here, he asked Naboth for it. Naboth said, no, it's an inheritance. I'm not going to get rid of it. It's been in the family forever. and I don't care how much money you want to give me for it, I'm going to keep it because it belongs to me. Now, under law, even if Naboth had sold the vineyard to Ahab, in the year of Jubilee, Ahab would have had to give it back because all property had to be returned to the ancestors at that particular time. So anyway, Ahab came into his house in verse 4, heavy and displeased because of the word of the Lord. He's sulking and crying, and there's nothing worse than a sulking, crying man. I know everybody shed tears sometimes. I shed tears sometimes or whatever. But there's a difference when you just get to be you don't speak to anybody. You don't, you sulk and you go to your room and you cry. It's bad. It's bad when anybody does it, but especially it's bad when a man does it. Yes. And you have this mindset. But he's just a little weak, a little weak, wimpy man anyway. Five, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and says, "Why is this spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" He wouldn't eat. And he said, "Because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite," and he said unto him, "Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it." And he answered, "I will not give it to you." He says, I asked Naboth for his vineyard, and offered him money. I even told him I'd give him nothing. He wouldn't give it to me, and I'm just upset because I wanted it. And Jezebel's wife said to him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel?" She said, "Aren't you the king? Eat. Let your heart be merry." She said, "I'll get the vineyard for you." So she goes out, she writes letters, she tweets about how bad Naboth is. She's always sending out tweets. Naboth is bad, Naboth is bad. They wrote letters in those days. Today, evil people tweet. And Naboth is bad, Naboth is bad. She turns everybody against Naboth. Then she brings him in, starts an inquiry about Naboth. When it says it sets him on high before the people, she brought him up on charges and brought him to court before the people. Now, before she brought him, she had already sent out all these letters trying to destroy him and say bad things about him, get people to hate him, whatever. Then she brings him before the people. And then when she brings him before the people, she wrote letters saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high before the people." In other words, she says, let's have an occasion, an event, and we're going to bring him to court, to judgment. And she set two men, sons of Belial, two evil men, before him to bear witness against him, brought in two people to lie. And saying that he came against God. He was not God. He was against God and the king. And then they carried him out and stoned him and killed the man. So Jezebel, so evil, what did she do? First, she started writing letters lying about the man, doing as much as she could, damage she could do. And then she drew him in after she had brought him before people she had already put into positions and did all these things and held him up before the people. Then brought in other people to lie about for him. And this is because she wanted what Naboth had.
Yes.
This is the sort of person she was. Naboth hadn't done a thing to any of them. And this is it's his property. He hadn't done a thing. He's just there. But they took full advantage of him being king and her being the queen or whatever she was. And so it got the people in such a rough. People will believe a lie. So the people believed the lie, took Naboth out, stoned the man.
Yeah.
Just believed it no matter what. This is how evil Ahab is. You get in the picture of how evil he is? And yet, everybody say, "And yet."
And yet.
Oh, about verse number 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. There was nobody as wicked as Jezebel. Let me look at before I get to that. 17, that's where I'm gonna start. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise and go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, which he is gone down to possess it." So now he's gone down. Naboth is dead, so now he's going to go take the land. He got him out of the way. "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession?" He says, you murdered Naboth, now you're taking his, now you're taking his vineyard. "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying," the Lord told Elijah, "say this to him, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, lick blood even thine. He says, you got this vineyard, you're going to die here. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? He says, oh, here you are, my enemy. Because, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And Ahab says, oh, you found me, Elijah, And he answers, I have found thee. I see you. Because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. This is how bad it was. Behold, the Lord is saying this, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. In other words, this is where the saying comes, your sin will find you out. Ahab says, have you found out about what I've done? And the Lord said, yeah, I found out about what you did. And he said, I'm going to cut off every male among you, every boy, every man, every male child among you. He says, I'm going to cut them off. They're going to die. You're not going to have any, young and old. He says, him that is shut up in Israel, and I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. He says, I'm going to do to you just like I did to your grandfather Jeroboam and your great grandfather. I'm going to get rid of every one of them. I'm going to cut this dynasty is coming to an end. Yeah. In other words, the kings of Israel, an end at this point where they have. Yeah. Because you caused Israel to sin. And Jezebel also spake the Lord. The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And the Lord said to him, and Jezebel gonna take care of her too. Dog's gonna lick up your blood. Dog's gonna eat her by the wall of Jezreel. She's done too. And to him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air. He says, Ahab, and of your relatives, all your relatives that die in the city, dog's gonna eat them. And all your relatives are dying in the field, dogs don't eat them. But God is letting Ahab know, I will get around you. And listen, saints of God, I want you to know, God gets around to everybody to reward them or to give them what they deserve or to recompense them. One way or another, God will get around to you. If you're good, God gets around to you. If you're not good, God gets around to you. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. In other words, the reason why Ahab was bad already, and Jezebel just made him that much worse. I mean, she could convince him to do the most ungodly things. And he did very abominably in following, abominably means something God unlays, in following idols, according to all the things as the Amorites, whom God did cast out before the children of Israel. Now, 27. Is Ahab bad? Yes, Ahab is bad. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes, tore his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went soft. In other words, he went into mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite, saying, seeing how Ahab humbled himself before me, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. Now, what's this sermon all about, Bishop Smith? If you can be as bad as Ahab and turn around and repent, surely, if you've done things you have no business doing, that you ought to be able to repent. He said, well, I don't know if Ahab really repented or not. God says he really repented. Yeah. He says, I'm going to, in other words, he says, all these things that I said are going to happen, they're not going to happen in your time because you have repented. Ahab, who marries an evil woman and allows Baal worship to come into Egypt and just does all kinds of whatever Jezebel wants to do, Ahab lets her do it. And really comes against God's people. And yet, when he finds out that how this pleased God is, he turns around and somebody says, well, he just repented because he got caught. No, the man really repented. Because God said in this, he said, see how Ahab humbled himself before me. Don't you think God knows whether Ahab has really humbled himself or not? Don't you think God knows whether Ahab has really repented or not? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days. He says, because the man has repented like he has, he says, I'm not going to let his kingdom continue. I'm going to still cut it off. But I will let him live. I'm not going to let him be successful in anything else. But I'm going to let him live. I'm not going to put up with his sons. And this is going to be the end of him. And his dynasty is not going to go on like the dynasty of David. But I'm going to let him live. Sometimes your ministry might not go where it's supposed to go, but God will let you live. You might not do all the things you could do in God, but if you repent, at least you'll have everlasting life. If you'll turn around and at least try to be halfway right, God will at least save you. The Lord will lift you up. You can talk to all the people you want to who claim that unless you're just like them and you're holy, holy, holy all the time, you're not going to heaven. Well, I'm not saying you're going to heaven in sin because you're not. But don't let anybody fool you. God is a merciful God. Don't let anybody fool you. When people repent and they turn to God, some people, you'll see tears fall down and you'll go out there, oh God, they really came before the Lord, they really cried. And God will say, those tears weren't genuine. And somebody will stand and just soft and say, Lord, forgive me. You'll say, well, ain't no forgiveness there. Oh, dry, repentance, they didn't repent. And God will say, but they humbled themselves in my sight. It is he that searcheth the heart. Oh, man and woman of God, you better stop looking at people's faces and trying to decide who's saved and who's not. Hey, I'm not foolish. I know some things that some people do. There's no way in the world they're saved. Everybody knows that. When you lie like a certain person I know who lies all the time, nowhere in the world he's saved. You can't make him be saved. Not lying like that. At some point in time, he'd have to repent. But at the same time, be very careful about people who are trying to serve God that you want to sit around and say, ain't nothing there, ain't nothing there, ain't nothing there. Listen, God looks in the heart. And the very person you think didn't repent like you think they ought to repent, they didn't cry like you think they ought to cry, they didn't do what you think they ought to do. But God said they humbled themselves before me. And the one you see that every time they open their mouth, they're shedding tears. God knows those are tears of pride. God knows those are tears and just air that they put on in front of the people. God knows they might feel bad, but they don't feel bad about what they've done. God looks at that and says, those people aren't humble, but the Ahab. If Ahab could humble himself and God could see, then we ought to be able to humble ourselves so that God can see. I see people all the time want to get to the big meat. Then you want to get in the big meat and you want to cry and give your testimony how great it is. Listen, when you glorify God, and you can do it any place, any time. You know, I've heard people say, I'm saving my testimony. Saving your testimony. My God, you're deciding who you think ought to hear it. What you're looking for is applause. What God gives you a testimony for is so that you win other people of God. He's not worried about, Jesus told them, he says, I'm not come to call the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous. It's not people sitting up in here necessarily, although it does encourage us, and although it brings us along, but we're not the ones who really need to be saved by your testimony. It's the people who are not saved. We've been saved already. It's not the person who comes down and just cries and wallows in tears. I've seen people come down in many prayer lines. Many of them I fall. Just they cried till they almost melted. But what they didn't do was give themselves to God. Yeah. And I've seen people come down and people say, they ain't got nothing. And they're here to this day, still serving God. They've gone on in God. They've grown in God. They got a word. They're the very ones. But they don't do what the people want them to do. Hey, it ain't the people who are saving me. It's God. Yes. Ahab humbled him. I would have thought, ain't no way in the world God's going to hear Ahab. But Ahab got in sackcloth and ashes. Ahab knew how to turn to God. Young people, I'm closing. I told you the other night. Be careful how you judge people who've been around God for a long time. Sometimes they do some things they have no business doing. But there are a lot of them, they know how to get a hold of God. They know when they've gone too far. And they know how to turn around and ask God to forgive them. They know when they've said too much. And it's time to ask God to forgive them. They know when they've done too much. And it's time to ask God to forgive them. They know when they're in the wrong. And they might not ever tell you, but they know how to go tell God. They know how to keep themselves in the love of God. They know how to stay, how to remain. They know how to hold on. Watch out. Don't let them fool you. Because on the outside, they'll turn around and you'll be out and you'll be gone. And you'll be back in sin. And they'll still be yet holding on. Oh, that won't be productive, but they'll still be holding on. They won't be bearing fruit, but they'll be holding on. Ahab is going to never bear any fruit. His reign is over.
Yes.
He's done a lot of things, but one thing he knew how to do, he knew how to turn to God. So did Ahab go to heaven? I don't know. We'll see when we get there. Probably not, because he turns around. Oh, no, he didn't make it. Because after this great repentance, he turns around then and goes into this thing of being with this battle with Jehoshaphat. I've just been bumped out. This battle with Jehoshaphat. He doesn't make it. As you keep reading, you find out that he gets killed still in deception. So he didn't. He repented, but it didn't change. Everybody standing.
Just trying to connect again. Maybe it will.
Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we glorify you. We give you all glory and all the honor. Lord, we ask you to bless us today. Lord, heal the sick today. Keep those that are in any distresses. And Lord, lead us and guide us and keep us in the way of the Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you be glorified in us. Lord, we glorify your name. And Father, we give you all glory and all honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear from God, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We'll take up our offering when we finish. We're already offline, so I'm just going to go ahead and dismiss. And we'll take up our offering. Can you come get offering to me?